You could turn to Exodus 15 to start, and then you can turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 too. I want to pick up one verse there. This message is kind of a jump from the devotion I had this morning with the guys, I put that up on YouTube if you want to watch that particular message. But I'll kind of give a little build, and then we're going to go a little bit different direction as far as that was concerned and kind of jump to that, from that. And I want to look at the thought of what it means to murmur. Because when you look in the scripture at how much God hated it and what he did in response to it, coupled with the fact that we all do it, right? And we'll look at exactly what that is. I just think after studying, going through some things today, I just thought it'd be good. As we are on the eve of Thanksgiving, Thankful Sunday and the Thanksgiving, I think it just to be really important. But we're going to look at what it means to murmur here this evening. And so in 1 Corinthians 10, it actually goes through and builds a case here, Paul explaining to the church there at Corinth, basically some examples from Israel of what not to do. And he goes into, in reference to Israel, and he starts really with them in Egypt, and he deals with them coming out, the Exodus, and then he really focuses on, we're not going to look at the scripture there, but you can read, it's 1 Corinthians 10, the first few verses. He starts to deal with the blessings of, number one, they were delivered from Egypt. I mean, they were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. And God, through a series of plagues, he freed them. He loosed the grips there, if you will. If you think about what was going on there, I mean, Egypt had a tight grip on Israel. You would not think that they would have gotten out, right? Especially not collectively as a group. If they would have got out, it would have been some here, some there. It wouldn't have been in total. And they not only got out of Egypt, out of bondage, when they left Egypt, they left very wealthy, because as they were leaving, God gave them favor. It's amazing. God gave them favor to where, as they're leaving, all the Egyptians are giving them all their riches. Here, take this. Here, take this. Take this. And they leave Egypt. They were slaves. I don't know if you can get a hold of this. They were slaves. They were slaves. They were being freed, and as they're being freed, because God gave them favor, everybody is just giving them all kinds of wealth to carry with them. It's just absolutely amazing. And then they leave very wealthy. And then instead of going the easy way, God leads them the hard way. And there's a reason for that. And they get down and they're stuck. Their back is against the sea. And by that point, now Egypt is hot on their trail. And then God miraculously, through fire and cloud, blocks them from Egypt catching them. And then Moses is crying out to God, and God gives him wisdom on lifting the staff, and the sea parts. And then they're able to go over the sea, or go through the sea, if you will, the walls being held back on dry ground all the way. And this really happened. I just want you to know, this isn't some fake story. This really happened, amen. And they go over. And then as he lowers the staff, the waters close in and destroys the enemy. And they get on the other side, and now they're in a wilderness, and they get hungry. And they murmur about not having food. They'll murmur about not having water. They complain. And in the 1 Corinthians 10, it deals with all of those. And Paul said that he's showing them all that so that it would be an example to us. And so we know it's applicable to us, New Testament, because God led Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to use these as examples to say, hey, don't do like they did. Amen? And can I say, we can look back and we can look at all the blessings that Egypt got to, or Israel got to experience coming out of Egypt. But I just want you to know, if you look in your own life, I know you may have it hard right now. And I know things may not be where you want them to be. And I know it, not everything might not be just perfect. And I get it, amen. But if we look, and not really hard, if we just take a casual look at our lives, we would all say tonight that we have been blessed above measure. We have been given so much. I mean, miraculously, far be it for us to fall after the example of Israel and fall into a murmuring, complaining state because something isn't exactly like we like it. And that's where we're at today. If something is out of kilter just a little bit, and then we have to say something about it. Like, we deserve everything to be just perfect. Amen. When in reality, we deserve nothing. Amen. And so we see in this text that that's kind of how this was set up. And then in this text, we find God actually reveals through here that when that rock that was following them, that gave them water, it says that was actually Christ. Christ was that rock. And it goes in John and talks about as well. By the way, the manna likens Christ unto the bread of life and the manna there. And so there's so many ins and outs to our lives and things that we just do not understand how intricately involved God is in our lives. I believe one day, as we get to glory, I believe it'll be revealed to us how involved God really was in our lives. And I think we're going to be smote in heart because of it. So look very quickly. I had you turn over to Exodus, and then also mention 1 Corinthians 10:10. But I want to read that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:10. It says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And so neither murmur ye. Exodus chapter 15, and in verse number 23 says this, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" All right, so what does it mean to murmur? Or in a light voice. So Webster says this about what it means to murmur. He says, "A complaint half suppressed," right? It's not a full out voice. There's other words for that, right? But a murmur is where you just utter in a low voice. Just some people might hear it and some people might not. But you give a complaint, just kind of, we would say, like, under your breath, right? That is what the Bible says, and Webster's 1828, that's what a murmuring is, all right? And so here in Exodus 15, they were thirsty, and they found water. They found, it wasn't just a mirage, amen, it was actually water. And they go to drink, but it was bitter. It was bitter, it was tainted, and they couldn't drink of it. It was poisoned, if you will. And they murmured. And who did they murmur against? No, it said in the text. It said, and the people murmured against, verse 23 or 24 says, against Moses. Did Moses sneak up there and poison them waters? Is that what happened? Moses like, "I'll get them people." I mean, is that what happened? Did you ever stop and think? You know, sometimes we murmur and complain about people, and really what we're complaining about, it really isn't their fault. Was it Moses' fault that the waters were bitter? No, not at all. Not at all. But murmuring, it isn't typically reasonable. It comes from a spirit of complaint. And ultimately, your complaint isn't against a person. It's against God. Their problem was with God, I believe, in that text. Amen? And then we're going to go through Moses to get to God. Now, in Numbers 14, if you look over there, Numbers 14, verse number 26, looking at what it meant to murmur. And back in our text, while you're turning to Numbers 14, 1 Corinthians 10:11, which 10:10 is where it says not to murmur. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, let me grab that for you. Yes. "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11 goes on to say, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so this is here for us to consider what it means to murmur. And then in verse 12 it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so we want to be very careful here that we don't just dismiss it and say it's no big deal. If God says it's a big deal, I don't care if you say it is or not, it's a big deal. Does that make sense? The stakes were high in reference to their murmuring. In Numbers 14 and verse 26, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation and murmur again? If you're on the phone, please take that out, please. All right? You want to help him out? Anyway, the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Amen. And so God did take this as personal in reference to who they were murmuring to. It might have been through Moses, through some others, but ultimately a complaint, any complaint that we have, ultimately is lodged at the feet of God. Guys, if we're going to complain about our wives, ultimately we're not complaining about the wife, we're complaining about the God that gave us that wife. If we're going to complain about our children, ultimately we're not complaining about our children as much as we are about the God who gave us those children. If we're going to complain about our job, ultimately we're not complaining about our job, we're complaining about God who gave us that job. If we're going to complain about the food in our fridge, ultimately we're not complaining about the food in the fridge, we're complaining about the one who actually gave us those provisions. That's the deal. So every time Israel murmured towards somebody, God said, that's against me. That's against me. Whether they did it directly against him or not, he said, Moses, they're murmuring against me. That's what it says in that text in Numbers 14. Look over at Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy 1 verse number 19. Murmuring. Anybody here find themselves murmuring? Don't feel good. I have to get out of bed. Wish I had something better to eat. All I have is this manna. Murmuring. Wish my kids were more obedient. Hello, look in the mirror, amen, parent. God's given you all the tools you need to raise your children for the Lord. Nothing that he's left undone for you. Well, it's so-and-so's fault. Oh, you mean God's fault? Is that what you're saying? See, every complaint is against God. Every complaint, ultimately. And by the way, that's why in the scriptures, David gave us this example that if we have any complaint, where do we take it? We take it to God. That's where we take our complaints to. Now, we can talk through issues, talk through things, but we talk through it with the right spirit looking for a solution. We're not just complaining like there is no solution or like you're not a part of the solution or I'm not a part of the solution. We're seeking God. We are peacemakers. We are problem solvers. Everything has a solution. And sometimes God says, you don't need a solution right now. You just need to be long-suffering. And you just need to bear with it. And when he says that, we say, thank you. Right? Deuteronomy 1 verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. This is Deuteronomy. So this is going back through what happened when they refused to go into the land. And this is Moses, the second iterance of the law, after all those people died in the wilderness. And he said, "This we came up to this land. It's the land that God had given unto us. Verse 21. He says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And he came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and unto what cities they shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the village of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God giveth unto us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Look at this next phrase. And ye murmured in your tents. That's like your houses. You went home and complained and murmured. That's what he said. About God and God's leadership, because you didn't want to go in. God gave it to you. You even noted that. But you didn't want to go. And we can't get upset at ourselves because we like ourselves. But we sure can murmur about others. We know ourselves better than others. If we have material on anybody to murmur against, well, wouldn't it be us, ourselves? I mean, if I had something to murmur against, I mean, I could find a lot of things I could complain about me about, amen. Wouldn't you think that would be the one that we would murmur about the most? But it's not. It's not. Isn't that amazing? And it says, and said, because the Lord, watch this, hated us. Do you see that? Hated us. He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. This is what happens when you start murmuring. Your whole idea and reasoning on things, it just gets all skewed. And you start messing with motives of others. This is what they said. They said, God, you did all that good stuff for us in getting us out of Egypt. I mean, God, you enabled us to leave Egypt wealthy. And then when we had our backs against the wall of the Red Sea, you parted the Red Sea for us. Why? So you could bring us up here to kill us. Does that make sense? Hannah, does that make sense? I mean, if God wanted to kill him, he could have just had Pharaoh do it, couldn't he have? If God wanted to kill him, he could have waited until he got in the middle of the Red Sea and said, that's it. I mean, there was ample opportunities to have killed them if he wanted to kill them. But that wasn't the point. No, God really did want to give them that land. And because they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't go in and they weren't going to complain about themselves, they instead murmured against Moses, and then they laid the blame at the foot of God and said, God, it's because you hate us. That's amazing how that works. And it goes on to say in verse 28, it says, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee. It was God that bore thee up and fed thee and gave you water to drink. And it says, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. He said, look back, look at how God has absolutely brought you here. Yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. And that will be the basis of murmuring. It's, you don't believe God, then based on how things go, because the belief is not there. Then things don't go right. And then you can't blame yourself because they're going bad. And so you got to find someone to blame. And so you pick out this person or this thing or that thing or President Biden. Somebody. You got to blame somebody. Whoa! Ultimately, I know who I can blame. It's God. It's God's fault. If God wanted to do something, he could have done it. But he's the one that did this to me. You see. That's what we see. That's where murmuring ultimately leads. Do you see why God hates it? And why when Israel murmured, honestly, the punishment was severe. Because it doesn't end well. Once it starts, it just breeds more and more. And it skews your thought processes. And you start attacking motives of others. To where even Israel got to the place, they attacked motives so much that they blamed God for hating them and wanting to kill them. Look at Luke 5. We looked at all Old Testament examples very quickly, a couple New Testament. I'll give you a passage to think on in reference to New Testament, us not murmuring, and then we'll close. Luke 5, verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down. Levi, of course, Matthew, verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" The scribes and the Pharisees weren't there because they were interested in what Jesus had going on. They were there to be critical. They were there to find fault. They were looking for fault. They found it, and then they murmured. And they murmured because they wanted that murmur to spread. And ultimately, whether we try to or not, one of the horrible things about murmuring is that murmuring is contagious. And when one person starts to murmur, ultimately, everyone kind of joins in if they're not careful. And everybody kind of gets that complaining spirit. And so it was squashed. Jesus actually squashed that there and dealt with them directly. I mean directly. But it was the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious people that decided to murmur because they saw Levi doing, who by the way just got saved. I mean just got saved. And they decided to murmur because Levi, Jesus, they're sitting with sinners. And they're eating with them. How dare they? Right? And that was their murmur. Look at John 6. John 6. And can I say, we have to be careful. Because there's oftentimes people do things that we would not approve of. Right? We have to be very careful that we don't murmur against them. What they need is the truth. What they need is help from the Lord. What they need is you and I to potentially even bear along with them. But we don't want to just murmur as in they're no good. And that's really what murmuring is. It's to cast it aside. It's to cast something aside. It's to cast blame and then to cast it aside. Look at John 6, verse number 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." How ironic that that's what they're murmuring at, because their forefathers murmured about that manna as well. And it says in verse 42, and they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, "Murmur not among yourselves." He called him out on it. Amen. And murmuring. Look at Acts 6:1. In Acts 6:1, there's a murmuring. And the leadership deals with it and deals with it properly and handles it. Just because we hear a murmuring doesn't mean that the murmur needs rebuked. Sometimes the way we deal with a murmur is we offer solutions, right? If we hear of a murmuring going on and you offer a solution or seek a solution even together, if a person who's murmuring is not open to a solution, or every time you try to present anything as a solution, it gets cut down, that's a different story. But if you see someone murmuring or hear someone murmuring and then you offer a solution, they're like, oh, that's a great idea. That's a good thing. That means that it's caught very early, and the purpose wasn't to just complain and to push aside a responsibility that is their own. But they just are frustrated in a sense. They don't know what to do. And here we see this with Acts 6:1. It says, in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And of course, we know the apostles there got together and they, under God's leadership, gave out a solution to see them, look out among themselves, seven men of honest report, filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know that would have been the first deacons. And a solution was given, and it worked out great. And so just because there's a murmuring going on doesn't mean that you and I need to murmur back at that murmuring, if you will, or to assign a false direction or course based on that murmuring. I think the right way to deal with a murmur is, if you hear that, is to offer a solution, is to seek a solution for it, and then see where it goes from there. Two things real quick. Jude 14, we're going to find that when Jude is dealing with some people in his day, he calls out some things. And one of those things he calls out is murmuring. And anyway, it's a neat text. Let's just look there. Jude, verse number 14 says, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You ever hear the phrase, misery loves company? I think sometimes we just want people to know that we're not happy, that our conditions aren't like we want them. I think sometimes that's what it is. I think sometimes we just want people to know that, you know, that we're not having a good day. And I think there's a place for others to know that for a lot of reasons. But we want to be very careful individually that we haven't built up a system to where we want others to know, because we want people to feel sorry for us. Or we want people to almost hold me in a high regard because of how much I'm suffering. You know what I'm saying? I think we want to be very careful there in reference to our complaints. And because every one of us has things going on in our lives that we could look to someone else and say, well, they don't, and I don't like it. But we need to be very careful, because we all have good and bad. We all have the positives and negatives. I mean, I deal with things that you don't deal with. You deal with things that I don't deal with. You know, we all have struggles. We all have blessings. Amen. And we're not trying to compare to see who's better off than somebody else. Amen. So what murmuring does is, murmuring calls attention to the bad. Now, there's a place. There's a place to have a little bit of attention drawn there just for prayer, seeking resolution, and all that. But in general, I don't think we as believers, I don't think we should be calling attention to the bad. I think we ought to call attention to the good. I think we ought to call attention to how good God is. Even in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation, even in the midst of trials and hardships and all, in the midst of all that we're dealing with, God is good. God is good, and God is with us. Amen. And I think that's what people need to see from you and I as believers is, you know, yeah, I'm going through this, but you know what? I'm trusting God through it. And though he slay me, as Job said, yet will I trust in him. Amen. And I'm going to make sure my countenance today, which is what God has given to us to reflect his glory, I'm going to make sure my countenance today reflects the glory of God. Amen. Because he's worthy and he has saved my soul, and I know I'll never go to hell, but I know this, I have a place being prepared for me in heaven. Amen. Right now. And he's gone to prepare a place. And when he comes, I will then go with him, be back, and I will be with him. Amen. And so we have a lot to give thanks for, but we should not be known as a complaining people. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and in verse number 13. I think it was this morning we were talking, and Luke pointed this verse out. Philippians 2, verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you. Do you believe that? Do you understand that whatever's going on in your life right now, if God wanted it fixed right now, it'd be fixed. Just speak the word. That's all God has to do is just speak a word. Fixed. Is that right? Do you believe that? I believe that. So if it's God that's working in us, that means whatever I have going on in my life, whether I perceive it as good or bad, it's where God wants me to be. Now it may be because I'm not at a place yet that God can fix it because he's still working on me. Right? There are some things that I pray for that I know that God probably hasn't given me yet because I'm not ready for it. Does that make sense? Okay. But no matter the reason, my life is what it is today because this is where God would have me to be. Did you ever stop and think about that? So when I complain about something as it is, who ultimately am I complaining about? Right here. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is that right? So for whatever reason, wherever you are right now in your life, you're there so God can receive pleasure through it. So I don't like that thought. You got a problem then. You got a big problem. God's ways are higher than our ways. How is it that Jesus was dying on the cross? And in Isaiah 53, it said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Do you understand that? I don't fully get it. God was pleased with the sufferings that his beloved son went through that day. It was the will of God that it would be so. See, we got this thought in mind that I'm only blessed if everything is good as I want it. But the reality is that we are here for God's glory. We are here for God's purpose. And we just have to get over us demanding comfort at every level. We got to get over this thought that I deserve everything in my life to be just like I want it. We got to get past that. We live in a sin-cursed world. And God gets glory when we're going through hardship with a right spirit and a right attitude and willing to endure hardness just like his son Jesus did for us. You see, well, this passage goes on. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then it says, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. No disputings. Say, what's a dispute? It's when you say, that's it. I'm not happy. I have a dispute right here with this. Right? Do all things. Without murmurings, no uttering under your breath. No discontent or complaint under your breath. And no disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Which means you are not going to shine as a light in the world if you're busy murmuring and complaining about the one who you should be shining a light to. Amen. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Lastly, and we'll close, 1 Corinthians, where we started. The truth that will enable you to be delivered from your murmuring and complaining. I read verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're all subject to this. We're all prone to this. This passage follows all those examples, Old Testament, in reference to Israel, how they murmured and complained ultimately towards God. And God destroyed a bunch of them over it. A bunch of them. And you can study that out on your own and see that. So we're not naive to this. We all know we're prone to this. Every one of us is prone to fall in this way. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you. Hold on, whoa. That means murmuring is a what? It's a temptation. Isn't that crazy? Whoa. We're tempted by the blank of our flesh. The lusts. Our flesh must like to murmur and complain. It's called a temptation right here. Is that right? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It's common for all of us. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. It is not only a lust from our flesh, it is a temptation from the tempter. This amazing passage here. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to what? Bear it. Why would I use that? This passage, it just came alive to me today. Because it's something we don't like. I have to bear it because I'm going through something I don't want to go through. I have to bear it because something's going on that I wish were different. And I'm tempted to not bear it. I'm tempted to complain about it and murmur about it and dispute it. I'm tempted to do all kinds of things to fix it on my own instead of seeking God and say, God, I know your grace is sufficient. I've revealed my heart to you. But if for whatever reason you want me to go through this for your glory, I'm fine. And I am going to choose your way of escape of thankfulness instead of my flesh and the tempter's designed to get me to fall and be a complainer and a murmurer. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from, what's the word? God calls murmuring and complaining idolatry. Who here knows why, based on what we just went over, God would call murmuring and complaining idolatry? Yes. So you're right. The thought of idolatry has to do with who your God is. Okay. This solidifies again the reality that when we're murmuring and complaining, we're complaining against who? God. And when we murmur and complain against God, we villainize him, right? And we remove him from God's status. And we seek a new God. That's what we do. When we murmur and complain, we seek something else or someone else to be God because God is not doing the job we expect him to.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Because we feel like we deserve a better set of circumstances. And we don't even consider that. Whoa, 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 whoa. It is God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if it's, are there any Christians around the world right now that are really and truly suffering under some severe persecution? There is. Do they have a place to complain? Do they have a place to murmur and complain about God for God letting them go through that right now? Do they have that place? That missionary family, Trowell. Does his wife have a place of complaint with God because God just let her husband get shot or whatever he got killed on the mission field? Does she have a reason to complain and murmur against God? How about the children who no longer have a daddy to go to? Do they have a reason to murmur and complain against God? No. No. No, because it is God that works in us. Not for our glory, not for our kingdom, but for his glory and his kingdom. So what should we do? Repent of your murmuring and complaining and see it as idolatry and against God. Amen. This has really been heavy on me today, and I hope that I've been able to at least back up my truck and unload a little bit on you tonight and give it to you for you then to take with me, amen, and learn some from it. But this is a big deal to God. So anyway, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And Lord, I know that I do have it better than I really do deserve. I really believe that. And yet at times I fall into the trap through the lust of my flesh and the temptation of the tempter of complaining because I feel like I deserve better. And I really don't. I just need to stop and think about it clearly before I just find myself complaining and going the route of the world that is so commonplace because I'm not of the world. And Lord, I know there are some in this room that they have some serious challenges in their life. Very, very difficult things that they have gone through and are going through. And Lord, I don't want to belittle those things at all. Not at all. But at the same time, God, we as your people, we just need to trust you. And I know I don't always understand, and you know that. We've had these conversations, Lord. And I at times will ask you for understanding. And I know you don't have to give it. And I'm fine with that. But at the same time, God, help me, Lord, to be not a complainer, but one who is able to bring forth the light of the Word of God and have a countenance that properly reflects your glory. Help us all to be that way. Help our church to be that way. And God, if there's anyone here tonight that's found themselves in major complaint and major murmuring, I know if they would examine it, that they would see a bunch that was brought forth tonight in your word. And they're in jeopardy, God. They're in a bad place. And Paul gave warning to those that would go that route, just as the ensamples Israel, Lord, showed us what can happen when it gets to a place that God finally has had enough of our murmuring and complaining. I know that, God, you're not pleased when we engage in these things. So God, help us with this tonight. And as we embark on this season of Thanksgiving, God, might our season of Thanksgiving, might it not truly just be a season of murmuring and complaining with a little bit of sprinkling of Thanksgiving. But God, might it be a true heart, a true expression of our love and gratitude for you, towards you in all things. God, thank you now. And bless this night, I pray in Jesus' name.